So far, the Lord is taking us through a beautiful journey of faith. And I know the understanding the Lord is giving to us is going to help us fulfill purpose. Amen. Shout glory.
Glory.
Ah, is that how you shout glory?
Glory. You
are still not sounding like you are full of the Holy Ghost.
Glory.
Amen. Amen. Now, the reason our generation don't see the lasting manifestation of God's power and wisdom is not that the Holy Spirit is on break. No. There is more the Lord is doing in the lives of people. There is more the Holy Ghost is doing. The matter is that people are experiencing things in God without understanding. So, a lot of people know that they've received the Holy Spirit but lack the understanding of the depths of the relationship we have with Him. We don't know the costs or the price God paid for us to have access to Him. It is not something that can be erased by your wrongs, by your sins, by your mistakes. It can't be erased. Now, before you start quoting, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? I want you to first know that this is not to say that continue in sin. The truth is that it is not even possible to continue in sin when you're in Christ. Yeah, you may. Now, to continue in sin means that sin becomes your realm, your domain. But it can't be because you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Don't believe that lie that sin is your domain. It was the domain of the fallen man, but not the man who is risen together with Christ. So no amount of wrongs or sinfulness can destroy what God has achieved. What it does is that it breaks you down, crushes your confidence to continually maintain a beautiful relationship with God or with Jesus. Because God intended that the Holy Spirit must abide forever in you, He has to make you a place where the Spirit will indwell unto everlasting. The Holy Spirit didn't just come to dwell in you. The Holy Spirit didn't just come to abide in you. The redemptive work has to first take place. So it wasn't like He came to live in a sinful body. No. That is why the born again is not the sinner saved by grace. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. That's what Paul is saying. So, I'm crucified with Christ. Who was crucified? The old man. He's not saying that it is now that you have to be crucified. He said, I am crucified. Past tense. So, at the moment, it is not your present reality. The crucifixion has gone on. You have been crucified with Christ. Now, though you find yourself living, it is not you, because the you was once in Adam, was once corruptible, had no access to God. The Jew would call you uncircumcised. That was your state. You were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and estranged from the covenant of promise. Had no access to God. He says, having no God, having no hope. That was the state of man. The relationship with God was terminated. But thank God in Christ Jesus, there was the germination of a new relationship, a rich, deeper relationship. Oh, glory to God. So you had no access to God, estranged from God. But let me tell you, a lot of people think that it is God that denied us. No, God did not deny us. You see, God never saw man, even though man became sin, he never saw man as his enemy. So now listen, even when you were a sinner, God did not see you as his enemy. Is it now that you are born again? Are you sure you are here? God never saw you as his enemy. Now, was there enmity? Yes, there was enmity. But where was the enmity? The enmity was not on the side of God. The enmity was on the side of man. It was man that saw himself as an enemy of God in his thinking. Now, from Genesis, when Adam sinned, it wasn't Adam that went to God to ask God, God, I've sinned, so can I come? God said, don't come, go. Was that so? No! Most people use, you know, the angels standing in the way to the tree of life, carrying a sword on that way to the tree of life. They use that as a medium to say that God cast man out of his presence. No, God never moved man out of his presence. It was man that departed from God's presence because he did not feel worthy. Unbelief was found in the hearts of man. So God didn't kick man out of his presence. No, God protected the way to the tree of life so that it will be attained by virtue of germination. God wanted eternal life to germinate in us. But first, he still knows that because unbelief has now been found in man and sin has germinated in man, sin must be terminated before man will partake of the eternal life. Because there was no way eternal life and the nature of sin would dwell together. It doesn't work like that. So one must be terminated so that the other will be germinated. So he put a sword on the way to the tree of life because before you assess that life, there has to be termination. He said, the day you partake of this tree, you shall surely die. Now listen, it was not a curse. God was telling man the principle on ground. He was showing man the principle that if you partake of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. Now, did man die? Yes. And the only way there will be access to the tree of life, there has to be germination. That's how God designed it. See, God did not even design death for termination. Death is for germination. I told you before, anything that comes in contact with God produces life. So there is no way. When darkness comes in contact with God, life is produced. Come on, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. When death comes in contact with God, immortality will be produced. Life, eternal, is produced. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, let me just correct this. When I say thank you, Holy Spirit, it is not because the thank you, Jesus, does not include the Holy Spirit. It's just because I want to be conscious. You see, I conscientize myself that I'm in communion with the Holy Ghost. All right? Yeah. But when I say thank you, Jesus, I've thanked the Father, I've thanked the Holy Spirit. Because that is the name of the Godhead. Glory! Glory! So, you would realize that God didn't cast man out of his presence. In fact, it was God that came to man. Bible says, and the voice of the Lord moved in the cool of the day. And man hid himself. It was not God. And God was like, Adam, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? So God never kept man out of his presence. It was man. Now, let me show you a scripture. I'm establishing the fact that God did not depart from man. God has never departed from man. It is man that departed from God. God has never seen man as his enemy. It is man that saw God as his enemy in his mind. Quickly look at this, Colossians. Colossians 1 verse 20. It's good to read your Bible. Listen, I'm telling you, nobody told me. I was reading my Bible and I saw it. I said, oh, okay. Thank you, Jesus. Colossians 1. Let me just do from verse 20. And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Shout hallelujah. And you, who once were alienated and... Now watch. You, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. Now, he didn't say enemies in the mind of God. Enemies in your mind. Enemies in your mind. So, it was man that thought that he's an enemy of God. And even up to now, though God has given you the Holy Spirit, man still thinks that he is an enemy of God. So, there are people who are righteous and they feel that they have to do something to attain righteousness before God will accept them. That's not the gospel. For God so loved the world. How can God love the world and still see the world as his enemy? Aya. So when we're yet sinners, Christ came to die. So God has never. Most Christians even make a lot of mistakes. They see Muslims and they say, I hate them. Don't hate them. They are not the enemy of God. Yes, they are enemies of the cross. They are people who are intentionally opposing the cross, opposing the cause of Christ. But you know what? God does not make man his enemy, because God designed man for his purpose. God designed man to indwell man that he will have expression. So he said, for God so loved the world, not that he loved the nations, he loved the world. What makes up the world? The aggregate of the world are people. The aggregation of people is what makes up the world. So he said, God loved the world, he loved all men, he loved all the people. That's why he says, for God desires that all men shall be saved. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God desires that all men, not some men, all men will be saved and come to the knowledge of his saving grace. All men. And if you have this mindset, you will be an effective soul winner. When you realize that the people you are reaching out to, God loves them. Listen, God loves the unreached so much that he doesn't care if you have to lose your life for the unreached. That's why we make a lot of sacrifice. So if you have to sacrifice your comfort for the unreached, and you know most of us here have sacrificed our self-comfort, pleasure for the unreached. But I want to travel to Canada, but you're still in Ghana because there are souls to be won. Are there no souls in Canada? No, God has designed you. Please do here at such a time like this. I'm not saying God wouldn't send you out there. He would. But there is always the witness of God in your spirit. There are times you know this one is your own desire. It's not God talking to you. So the enmity was in the mind of man, not with God. You hear what I said? Not with God. So man departed from God's presence. And I don't blame man, because man felt so sinful. And God knows that no matter how he loved man, he can't just usher man into his presence, because in him there is no sin. Man can't stand his presence. So God has to go ahead with his eternal plan of dispensing salvation unto us. Let's look at this again. Colossians 1, verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether, oh glory to God, things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Having made peace. Remember, in the other verse we read, the same verse, verse 21, he says, and you who once were alienated and enemies. So there was an enmity in your mind. God knew it.
But God still had that desire to correct that error. But for him to correct it, it must be through the shedding of his blood. Most of times, when you talk about the blood of Jesus, you think it's not the blood of God. No, the blood of Jesus is the blood of God. Because Jesus is God. So he knows that the only way he, God, has to die for man. But God cannot die for man as God. So he must become fully man. So that his blood will represent man. But yet, the blood, the genetic coding, isn't just human. Isn't just the blood of man. It's also the blood of God. It's a divine blood. It's an eternal blood. Listen, that is why your salvation is eternal. Because the blood that brought katuku kakaka, the blood that dealt with your wrongs, the blood that redeemed you, is an eternal blood. It means that the redemption must be eternal. No inflation can affect it. Hey! Kabalatata. No matter the economy of this world, it cannot affect the blood of Jesus. It can't. And do you know that Jesus, when he resurrected, he had no blood in him. Oh, let's look at it. John. Hey! Let's go to Luke. Oh, hallelujah. Ha ha! Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Makata. You know, we are not preaching this because it's Thy Kingdom Camp. This is our message. Yeah. You know, some people, they need Easter before they preach Jesus. By now, they are saying Jesus has resurrected. All right. Luke 24. They will say, oh, we, my man, what me have a. Oh, no. Now, oh, we, the Jamin Kwan. The lamb that was killed died to give me eternal life, to save me. Yet, they will say, Enkwaji and say, won't share trouser. You see, and then Enkwaji and Sem say, won't share wig. And only Enkwaji and Sem. How? Yet, you will sing, oh, we, mommy, it is by his death I'm saved. Then here you come back to say that by your works, you must be saved. What message? You are confused. So there is so much confusion. Because man feels he has to always do something to attain. See, man loves self-glory. Men, they love self-glory. Self-glorification. So anything they will do to make them feel that, I did it. Even prayer. People don't pray because they rely on God. They pray because that is how they work things. So when they are done, they say, I prayed. Then they boast in their prayer. We boast in nothing except the cross of Jesus. Our boast is in the cross. No, if Jesus had not died, who are you? Before you even say you are a prayer papa, it was by his blood. You are not precious because of your works. You are special, precious, because a precious blood saved you. Do you know the death of Jesus unveiled God's original intention? An original aggregation of man's value. Man's value was fully determined by the blood of Jesus. When God died, we saw how valuable man was. When God died for man, then we realized the value of man. If God had not come to die, we wouldn't have seen the value of man. And I tell you, if you were the only person on earth, Jesus would still come and die for you. He died for the world, but in his mind, he died for you also individually. This is why the Holy Spirit can relate with you as a person as though he doesn't know any of us. Okay, Luke 24, from verse 36, Luke 24, 36. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. Suppose they had seen a spirit. He said to them, why are you troubled? Why are you running? Why are you running? Why are you running? And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. Watch, watch. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. He didn't say a spirit does not have flesh and blood. Because there was no blood. There was no blood in Jesus. So he said, a spirit does not have flesh and bones. Now he's not saying that he's a spirit. He addressed the issue of ghost. Or one who is dead, who is not alive. He said, I'm alive. Do you know you don't need... Oh, copper. Let me say it anyway. Do you know you don't need blood to function on earth? You know, intrinsically, God did not design man to live depending on blood. God designed man to live depending on his word. That's why the original medicine to your body is the word of God. Ha! So when they come to you and they say that you have a blood condition, Master! Shortage in blood is no absence in life. Feed on the word. It will correct it. Jesus came, walked on earth after resurrection, had no blood. Listen, for the spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead, that same spirit vitalizes mortal bodies. What vitalizes our body? What gives life to our mortal bodies? It's not the blood in our system. Hey! Oh, glory to God. It is not the blood in your body. Your living is not dependent on the blood. It's the spirit life within you. Ha. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit lives within. So now, if there is rapture and other saints are gone and others are left, what will happen to the spirit in them? What will happen to the Holy Spirit that now lives in them? He will leave. Oh. He will leave? No. He said, I'm with you always. That's what he said. He said, I'm with you. He said, I'm with you always. Told us, the works that I do, you shall do also. And greater works than this shall ye do. The works that I do, you will do also. Greater works than this shall ye also do. You will do greater works. So that day when you appear before him, he will say that, I gave you my name. I gave you the Holy Spirit. What did you do? What was your works? That day will come, and that determines the crowns, the Stephanos you receive. Hallelujah. Listen, there is no flight one, flight two. There's nothing like flight one for first believers who are serious with God. It is not there. There's nothing like flight one. As some people who are laboring now for the Lord, they will go. And others will be left behind and suffer. Then later God will see that you have suffered enough. I'm coming to pick you. It's nowhere. You will not find it anywhere. You know, sometimes when you look at things people do, for example, one of the days, I learned there's this musician that has passed on and people were insulting their husband and all that. And I was having a conversation with Bishop Isaiah. We're talking, and Bishop was angry. I was also angry, displeased with the man. We're talking. I said, by this day, all that has happened, the man too, God can forgive him and he'll go to heaven. That's it. You see, listen, the love of God, it is not dependent on you. You see, if God's love can be measured by men, who will be saved? It's called immeasurable. He will tell you that the love of God, it changes. God switches mood. God will say, I'm happy with you. Tomorrow he will say, I'm not happy with you. No, no, no. His love for you is forever. Did you hear that? As his love for you is, you are sounding mechanical. I say his love for you is forever. Hallelujah. So back to Colossians, right? Colossians 1, look at it again. So the scripture we read in Luke that was carrying us into something, all right? What I was dealing with was that the blood of Jesus was emptied for us because he says in Colossians 1, verse 20, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. That's what led us to Luke 24. Through the blood of his cross, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. Now, he didn't just end there. He said, he has reconciled in the body of his flesh to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Kai. Through his blood. To present you holy. Kai. Through his death. To present you holy and blameless. Holy, blameless. Holy, blameless. Holy and blameless. And above reproach. Okay, listen. You are above. It means any reproach in the sight of God, you are above it. So how can he leave you behind? That's what Paul said. The day of the Lord is a good news for us. The coming of the Lord is a good news for us. The appearing of the Lord. He said he will not come to you as a thief. Why? Because you are not in darkness. You are in the light. You are in the light. See, I take it in. I take it in. I take it in. My spirit receives it. I capture it. I'm convinced. Say, it's my conviction. Say, because you are not in darkness. You are in the light. You are not in darkness. You are not in darkness. So he says, you are above. If there should be anything as reproach, he says, you are above reproach. Oh, glory to God. Let's read it. Let's read it in the Passion Translation. I'm above reproach. You know, sometimes you begin to look down on yourself. Brother, you're above reproach. See, who is he that condemned it? It is Christ that died. Christ died. Oh, Jesus, I'm unblameable, unreprovable. Are you sure you are here? Unreprovable. All right, Colossians 1. From verse 19, Passion Translation. For God is satisfied to have all his fullness dwelling in Christ. And by the blood of his cross, everything in heaven and earth is brought back to himself, back to its original intent, restored to innocence again. Even though you were once distant from him, living in the shadows of your evil thoughts and actions, he reconnected you back to himself. He released his supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of his own body as the sin payment on your behalf, so that you will dwell in his presence. This is what I'm looking for. So the presence of God has just moved with you. You dwell there. How? Listen, you dwell there. It is not because God is just so good and doesn't have anything to do. No, it was paid for. You see, when you don't take advantage of God's presence, you don't take advantage of the Holy Spirit, you are like one whom a house has been bought for, furnished, and is still sleeping outside under the rain. You see, you are not taking advantage of the dwelling place. David said, goodness and his mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, that I would dwell in the house of God, that I would dwell, that I would dwell. It was a declaration, a prophetic declaration. Now it has been fulfilled. By his goodness and by his mercy, grace found us and translated us from the power of darkness to the kingdom of light. Now we are translated. So he says, through his blood, that we may dwell. Come on, speak in tongues and celebrate Jesus. So he says, he releases supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of his own body as the sin payment on your behalf, so that you would dwell in his presence. And now, there is nothing between you and Father God. The wall of partition has been broken. There is nothing between you and Father God. For he sees you. So, it will be difficult for one to have a mingling with God if the blood had not gone ahead. But because there has been the blood and there has been the sin payment, now nothing stands between us and God. Why? When he sees us, he sees you as holy, flawless, and restored. So now he charged them. He charged them saying, if indeed you continue to advance in faith, assured of a firm foundation to grow upon, never be shaken from the hope of the gospel you have believed in. And this is the glorious news I preach all over the world. What's the glorious news? God sees you holy, flawless, and restored. He sees you as one above reproach. That's how God sees you now. God sees you as one who is above reproach. You are above reproach. Glory! Nothing stands between us. In the Old Testament, you know, when a sacrifice, one who is coming with a sacrifice, all right, comes to the temple or the tabernacle, he doesn't enter. He stays at the outer court. The best place they get to is the outer court. It's the high priest that goes into the most holy place. Now, we don't just have a high priest who just goes in there and comes back to tell us what has been done. He went there once. And when he went there, he assimilated us into his body. Therefore, now, we are within him, who is our high priest. So, we have access. The handwritings of ordinances written against you has been terminated on the cross. I have access to God. As I have access to God. So he said, come ye boldly. Come ye boldly. This is why you wake up to pray without first saying, Father, forgive me all my sins. To feel holy before praying. No, you are eternally forgiven. It's part of the blessings you received. The blessing of forgiveness of sins. Now, he has not forgiven your sins because you forgave someone. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. No. Our forgiveness is not as we are forgiving someone. The forgiveness, if the forgiveness God gives to you, is as you can forgive others, then you don't need the blood of Jesus. Because before Jesus came, people were forgiving others. Are you sure you are here? So, the blood of Jesus brought you to the waterfall of eternal forgiveness. And listen, when Jesus died for you, you were not born. So, you were forgiven before you were born. Do you understand? So, you don't pray for forgiveness before you enter his presence. And the truth is that you don't enter his presence. You were born there. What we do is that we practice his presence. We are not like David who says, I will enter his court. No, I'm not going to enter. I have entered. Hey! So when we say that this is a month of the presence of the Lord, it's not like we are now trying to enter God's presence. We are now trying to have access. We have access. We have entered. We live there. We dwell there. We function there. We breathe there. Now listen, whether you pray or you don't pray, you are in the presence. Whether you speak in tongues or not, you are there. You pray or not, you are there. You sing or not, you are there. You shout in the spirit or not, you are there. Listen, you can enter your washroom. You can enter your room. You can enter your house. You don't enter his presence. You dwell there. It means as you are moving with it. You are there. I said you are there. So you don't need God to come and forgive you. Then you wake up in the morning, say, Father, forgive me all my sins. Now, I'm not against it too. If you pray that, Father, forgive me. It's like a relationship. But know that it's not that prayer that brings you forgiveness. You have forgiveness through his blood. Now, people say, okay, since you have forgiveness through his blood, then now I have to plead the blood. So, Father, I plead your blood, so forgive me. No. There is the testimony of his blood over your life forever. The blood has already spoken. It's not like God is angry with you. Then today, if God wants to do something, God will say, the blood of Jesus. Because of the blood, let me forgive you. No, the blood has spoken once and for all over your life. So you are there. Now you are holy. You are not trying to become. However, you live holy. It means you express holiness you have. And the reason is easy, because we know we have the presence within us. We have the presence within us. So it's easy to practice that presence. It's easy. Lift your right hand. Thank you. Say, thank you. Now, let's go to Ephesians to dig more. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. To take note of some few blessings you have received. And that's what qualifies us. Listen, it is not like your access to God was through a beggarly medium. It is part of your right. By the virtue of what Christ achieved, you were ushered into God. This is why you wake up in the morning and you can blow in tongues. You've brushed your teeth. You've not brushed your teeth. You've not washed. Mrakatakalabashakaba. You know what Jesus has done for you? Those days, you know, ladies, before you even fellowship with the Lord, you have to go and wash yourself, especially when you are in your monthly duty. You are called unclean. How? Just think about it. But now, you may still be in the pure and rakatakaba. Imagine a day without the Holy Ghost. How would life be? How would life be? But now, you wake up, you can pray in tongues. You can fellowship with the Lord. You can enjoy the Lord. Even in your weakness, he's there to bear you up. Now, someone and sit. I just appreciate the faith of the patriarchs because they didn't have what we have, yet they strived in faith. A day in that struggle. Struggling. Have a day you are struggling. Like without the presence, you will struggle. God is not talking to you. You are not hearing God. It's like you are struggling every day. You must struggle, struggle, struggle. But that is not a story. It's a chosen generation. Royal priesthood. It means, you see, to be a royal priesthood, it means you have the royal right. You have the priestly right. It's only the priests that have access. Now you are a priest, you have access. A holy nation. Peculiar people. Hey! Now what he says in Ephesians. Ephesians 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So he said, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Then he says, just as. Now listen, the spiritual blessing was already in God. God had determined to make us have access. So the blessing is God empowering you, giving it to you. And he gave it to us as he had purposed in his heart. Let me help you understand how it works. This language of Paul. Paul stole the language of Moses. Because, listen, in Genesis 1, God said, let us make man. Let's go and read it. I want you to see something. Now, Genesis 1, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. You are the best teacher. Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Are you following? So, God was there. He decided to create man. So now, before God will make man, he had determined the course of man. Before God will create man, he has already determined it. He has established himself in what man should be. The blessing he has to give to man. Now, what God wants you to be is his blessing to you. Are you following? So now, he says, let us make man. Look into your scriptures. Read it to me. Louder, louder, louder. One, two, go. Let us make man. Huh? Uh-huh. All right. So you see that God made man to have dominion. Okay? That is the purpose of God. According to his eternal counsel. According to God's eternal counsel, this is what he has predetermined that man should have. All right. So now look at it. The verse 27. He says, so, okay. So God said, let us make man. God made a decision. And he showed the components, showed the things he has to give to man. Then he said, so, God created man as he has said. Are you here? So God created man in his own image. Now let's go back. We are going to relate with it. Verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Then come down to verse 27. So as, see, when God said it, he did it. Hey. Are you following? That's why I declare over your life. Every word God has spoken, anything the Lord has said through his prophets, through revelation of his word, anything God has said concerning you, as he has said it, as he has decided, he will do it for you. That which the Lord has purposed for you shall come to pass. That which the Lord has purposed for you, the purpose of God for your life, shall come to pass. In the name of Jesus, shout glory. Now look at this. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image, as God has said. Are you following? In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now see verse 28. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion. Does it remind you of something? Are you sure? He said, he blessed them. Then God said, have dominion, look at it, over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Listen, this is not a mere repetition. It was not like Moses was repeating what God had said. The verse 26 and 28 are not the same. 26 is what God decided to do. 28 is what God did. So, in verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God decided, he purposed in himself, that this is what he's going to create man for. He said, so God created man in his image. But when God created man, he was not done. What he made man for must also come to pass. So what God made man for was a blessing from God. Blessing is empowerment. So God now empowered man with his purpose. He empowered man with his purpose, with the counsel, the eternal counsel he had, that which made him make man. The counsel, the intention he has about man, God now blessed man with that intention. So that man will operate in his full originality. Are you getting it? I'm repeating. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let him have dominion. Then God made man and God blessed man. Say, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, and have dominion. So the blessing was man to have dominion, to be fruitful, to multiply, to subdue, and to have dominion. So God's purpose was now established. In that same light, back to Ephesians chapter 1. Observe the language of Paul, the apostle, declaring the mind of God. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Then he said, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So he's saying that before God made man. So it means Paul is revealing something which Moses revealed, that before God will create man or will create anything, he determines the purpose. And the purpose he determines, when God creates, he blesses that person with that purpose. So again, Paul now says, God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings just as he chose us in himself. It means that when God chose you, he decided to bless you. When God purposed in himself, he decided to bless you. Just as when God was going to create man, he decided to bless man. And what was a blessing?
Now he declares the blessing. He chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So the blessing, God, hi. Let me show you a scripture. You see what God did. God gave man dominion over everything on earth. So for God to give man that dominion, man must have the right to function on earth. So what did God do? He took the dust of the earth to make man. That gives man the right to function in this physical world. What gives us the right to own the blessing of holiness? What? Kibah. I'll show you. If God wants you to have the right, he must use certain materials to create you. It is that material that gives you the right to function in a particular dimension. So let's look at the material God used to create the new man. I love you, Jesus. Ephesians. Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Come on, shout glory! Let me just read to you from verse 21. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24. Never forget Ephesians 4:24. He says, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So the new man was not just created from the air. There were materials God used to create the new man. And Paul said, the material that God used to create the new man is righteousness and holiness. So because the new man has been created in true righteousness and holiness by God, man has the right to be righteous. The new man, you have the right to be righteous. The new man has the right to be holy. Because those were the materials that were used to create you. So now God can bless you with holiness. Why? You have the capacity for it. Makovatos. Malekovato Basha. Ikapakataka. Ikaparata. Zavatalamai. Zavatalamai. Yeah. Oh. I da 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 da. Lift your hands, come and commune with the Holy Ghost.
I just want to thank you. I lift my hands and say, I love you, you are everything to me.
Oh,
and
oh. Didn't just happen by chance. finally. Chapter 2. See what it is. He said, and you, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Let me jump a lot of time. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. I said, God has never hit you. With great love which he loved us. Love alone is great, and it's adding great again. With great love. Now he says, the love is great. Every man will say, Mao, Mao. With great love which he loved us. He said, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is our place now because of his finished work. Look at what it says. If it's left, he said, therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens, just as it's written in Colossians, he's repeating it here, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Shout hallelujah! Now, you that were afar off, you've been brought near. Look at verse 14. It says, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down. Oh, nothing stands between us anymore. Look at it. Has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law. So now he takes time to explain the enmity to us, and he's saying that the enmity which he's mentioned in Colossians concerning what you had in your mind, the enmity in our mind, he shows us the root of that enmity in Ephesians. The root of the enmity, why you feel you are not qualified, why you feel God is angry with you, why you feel that God kicked you out, why you think that God will kick you out again. He says it has been dealt with. So look at it. He says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandment contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. He's not done. He said, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Now again, he's dealing with the enmity again that exists between the Gentiles and the Jews. Now, that enmity is created by works of the law. Confidence in the flesh. Confidence in the flesh. And he said that middle wall of partition has been broken. Whatever blessing God had for his sons, it's not just for Israelites. We all share in it. The Israelites thought they had that blessing because of their good works. But now he says, no, I've made it available because of my finished work. Because of the finished work of our Lord Jesus on the cross, we have access. We don't have access because of our good works. Now look at it, verse 17. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. What is that peace? Being justified freely, we have peace with God. So what is that peace? It's the message of justification. The message of our righteousness in Christ Jesus. The message that by the grace of God, you are saved. So who has called us with the holy calling? And who has saved us? Who has called the holy calling and saved us? Not according to our purpose, but according to his righteousness. According to his grace and purpose. He has called us to a holy calling. He said, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace in Christ Jesus. He said, he has brought to light life and immortality. Life. So we have peace with God. When you say we have peace with God, it means there is no longer enmity in our mind. There is reconciliation. We are reconciled. We are brought into oneness. We are brought into oneness. Now see verse 18. So for through him, we both have access by one spirit to the Father. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, Christ was resurrected. He enabled him. He came to die and he resurrected. Now by this spirit and his work, we have access to the Father. The Father who dwelt in unapproachable light, now we have access to him. And he said he has given the Spirit unto us as a seal. Lift your hands and we're going to thank him. Thank you. Come on, you're not lifting your voice. Come on, you have access. You have access. You have access. You have access. Come on, speak in tongues with fire, with power. Come on, speak in tongues. Through his blood, you have access. Oh! Rekusa makata. Rekusa makata. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Come on, shout glory. Come on, shout glory. Come on, shout glory. Come on, rejoice. Of works, lest any man should boast. Dear Jesus, I have access. Now I can commune with God. I can commune with the Holy Ghost in a deeper way. Now I can have a deeper flow, a deeper relationship with him. Why? His blood. His blood. Savala katabaya kerababa shakaba. Jesus, I love you. I love you. Oh, we are carrying this gospel to the ends of the world. We are preaching this gospel everywhere. As it is good news of Jesus. This good news of Jesus, we are carrying it to the ends of the world. This is the only news we have. This is the news. The whole world must hear. The whole world must hear. We will not keep quiet. Now you understand why this song burns in my heart. Why that song came out of my spirit. My eyes have seen the goodness of the Lord. My ears have heard the wonders of your word. My eyes have seen the goodness of the Lord. Your house. Of Jesus. Everyone we're here, as long as we are alive. What a news. What a news. I will tell it to the world. Motivation to preach Christ to others is bigger than hell. It's bigger than lives being lost. It's this love. It's bigger than fear. And you also shouldn't just go out there preaching because you're afraid that God will be angry with you. It should be organic because His love is at work in you. And you have seen it. Your eyes have seen it. Your ears have heard it. So you will not keep quiet. You know, when men become selfish, they can't do ministry. Because the power of ministry is love. It is by love we can reach our world. You cannot run an effective life connect where the love of God is not burning your heart. See, you'll be tired. You can't be a giver when and his love is not burning in your heart. You will say they collect money too much. Which money is collected? Everything is for his work. For example, the Lord wants us to build a square, a global square. Now, the third God wants us to build that plan we did, we are changing it. We want to build a global square, so that lives will be built up. If you are putting money into it, it's not for the cause of Christ. We are going to tell it to the world through our giving, through our prayers, through our love, through our confessions, and by preaching.